Your Bible to several verses. I'll talk about baptism and three passages that are sometimes troublesome to people. One being Mark 16. So let's turn the Bible first of all to Mark chapter 16. We're glad that we can be involved in the ordinance of baptism. And John the Baptist was the first Baptist. He baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was a Baptist, having been immersed in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. All right, but Mark 16, we have one of the verses that some have misconstrued and try to come up with a faulty view of this. But let's look here in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. So here's the great commission given by the Lord and Mark's version of it. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So there's the preaching of the gospel message of the death, burial, resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. All right, so we have the preaching of the gospel. And then we have believing, preaching the gospel, believing the gospel. Then we have baptism. And so we have these basically in order here, preaching the gospel, believing, and then being baptized. But we notice the second clause is what helps interpret the passage here. So Luther, as I mentioned here several times, liked the first clause there. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He thought baptism saves. And so Luther liked the first part of that verse, but he wouldn't cite the second part. But the second part here indicates that he believeth not shall be damned. So we have to ask the question on the passage. So what damns a person? See, what damns somebody? Lack of believing. Well, that lack of believing. He did not say, the Lord did not say, but he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. If he said that, then the lack of baptism would damn. But he doesn't say that. You follow that? And so the Lord makes a general statement. Is it true that he that believeth, believing the gospel, that's salvation, and the demonstration of obedience, fruit of salvation is baptism. The fruit of salvation. The fruit of salvation. Not the means of salvation, but the fruit of salvation here. All right, so we have to look at the whole verse. What damns a person? The lack of faith. Follow that? That's what it says. And so we have to read the whole verse. That's why we need to read numerous verses. There's not just one linchpin verse here, as some want to maintain. So let's look at the so-called linchpin verse. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So I remember years ago when I was in seminary and listening to the radio while I was working all night, there was a preacher on there, I think a disciple of Christ, and he seemed like the only verse he ever used was Acts 2:38, and he said he said with his Acts and 2:38s he could destroy any Baptist. Taking a pun on the verse. The verse says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins that ye receive, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, on the surface, if this is the only verse in the Bible, it may sound like, from the English and from the King James there, that baptism brings about remission of sins. All right, so what Peter is indicating here is, to the audience, they were pricked in their heart. Verse 37, they are under conviction. His message was, repent. So the Lord said that numerous times, Mark 1:15, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said the same thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the message here is repentance. Now, he goes on to say, and be baptized. So this was what was expected of the audience. You need to repent of your sins, and then you need to be baptized. The audience repented of their sins, and they were baptized. Yeah. But what brought about the remission of sins? Well, the language of Scripture here, and we're not criticizing the King James, but the word behind for there, the Greek word is eis, and so it's translated about 10 to 12 different ways in the King James, or in any translation for that matter, different ways, and so it could be be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the remission of sins. And so we have the same word is being used over there in Matthew chapter 12, same preposition. So we don't want to go to hell because of a misunderstanding of a preposition. Right. Think of that. So if you look over there in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, all right, so here we're going to look at Matthew 12, 41 as an illustration. So here the Lord is talking to disciples about Jonah. Verse 41 says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." So the preposition at there is the same preposition found here, eis. So they repented at the preaching of Jonas. So they didn't produce the preaching, but they repented because of the preaching of Jonas. In other words, at could be understood as because. All right, so same preposition. Remember the Greek preposition translated about 10 to 12 different ways in the King James. So it could be at, or for, or because. So why did the men of Nineveh repent? They repented because of the preaching of Jonah. Right, follow that? Likewise, same preposition shows up here in our 2:38. And could be translated here without doing injustice to the passage. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ because of the remission of sins. All right, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, some might say, I'm not satisfied with that answer. Okay, that's great. You don't have to be satisfied with that. But let's notice several considerations here. It's not necessarily great that you're not satisfied with it, but it's a possibility. You might say, well, is this the only verse in the Bible about baptism? Well, let's look, first of all, in verse 41. So 41 follows. So here's the audience, and how did the audience respond to this message of Peter? Then they that gladly received his word. See, these were sinners pricked in their heart, and all of a sudden something happened. They gladly received. Amen. So there was something happened in their hearts. They that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So they repented. They gladly received the word of God, the message here, and they were baptized. But there's more. Let's look over there in another passage. This is in Acts 3:19. Acts 3:19. So Acts 2:38 is talking about sins. Remission of sins. Now we're looking at 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So what blots out the sins? Conversion. Repentance, conversion, the Lord blots them out. Nothing is said about baptism here. All right, so some would say, no, here's my favorite verse, and baptism saves people. All right, so we can look at this different ways. Let's look at the very verse. Let's look at the context here. They gladly received the word of God. Let's look at another passage that indicates what takes care of sins is the blotting out of the sins by the blood of Christ and his forgiveness. All right. But this is the aftermath. Let's look at the first reference to baptism. How about the first reference to baptism? So first reference is important here. So now we can look at first reference in two different passages. First of all, there's Matthew chapter 3, and then there's Mark chapter 1. But Matthew chapter 3, notice John the Baptist came on the scene, Matthew 3. In those days came John the Baptist, and what was his message? Repent ye. So he said, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice several verses later, 3:6, talking about those in these regions here, and were baptized of him in Jordan, what? Confessing their sins. They're confessing their sins. Baptized, but confessing their sins, obviously, prior to that. And then look over then verse 8. Notice in verse 8. So the Pharisees and Sadducees came to the Lord, and the Lord said, or to John rather, and John said in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So he wasn't going to allow them to be baptized till they repented. Right. Follow that? Amen. So repent, be baptized. Repent, be baptized. But in order to be baptized, one needs to confess sins. One needs to be converted. One needs to have sins remitted. And one needs to have fruit of salvation. Fruit of salvation. All right. And so we look at the favorite verse of those who believe in baptismal regeneration, Acts 2:38. And this is their only verse. But if you look at the context, you look at the verse, you look at the context after, you look at the context before this, and you find out that they have a faulty view there. Or let's look here in Mark. Mark chapter 1. Notice in Mark chapter 1, Mark writing the gospel doesn't take long for us to get to baptism here in Mark 1:4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached a baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Preached a baptism of repentance for remission of sins. So the there needs to be the fruit of repentance in order to be baptized. Fruit of repentance to be baptized. All right, and so the baptism doesn't save, although this on the surface may look like a passage that argues for baptismal regeneration. Rituals don't save. We just covered that in Acts chapter 7. It's faith in the Lord. And so conversion is what? Conversion is turning from sin, repenting, turning from sin, and looking in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's salvation. And so that's called conversion. After that, there is the baptism, which when an individual desires to be baptized, they're demonstrating the fruit of their repentance. The fruit of the repentance. All right. And so today, when they get baptized, he's already professed to know Christ as Savior, having repented of sin and believed on the Lord. Amen. This is not going to give him salvation. This is going to give him entrance into this local church where he can grow in the Word of God, but he already has a profession of faith in Christ. And so the water out here, all we can say about it is it's not holy water, and it doesn't bring about the conversion of anybody, and it's probably going to be cold, but it does not give salvation to anybody, all right? So... And then one final verse, and this is found in 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 21. So here's a verse as well. So we're looking at these so-called troublesome passages. Troublesome passages. So it's all there, Mark and Acts. Now, 1 Peter 3, 18 through 21. So here, Peter's talking about the suffering of the Lord in the verse 17. Notice in verse 18, he suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, all right? And he goes on to say in verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So He was quickened by the Spirit, so by the Spirit he preached to the spirits in prison. All right, which sometime were disobedient. So, all right, these spirits who are in prison. Sometime they were disobedient. Well, when were they disobedient? Well, he tells us when. Well, when? Once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So, in other words, the Lord had preached to these individuals when in Noah's day, and now they're imprisoned, as it were. But in Noah's day, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. So now we have, what do you mean saved by water? Well, you have to look, how was Noah saved by water? Well, we have the earth, we've got water, and we have the ark. So the water separated Noah from the wicked earth that was going to be destroyed, that was destroyed. So the water of baptism saves an individual from the world, in the sense that the world says, wait a minute, he's a Christian now. He's no longer part of the gang that's going to do all these things. He's a Christian. And so salvation or baptism identifies you with a local church. It identifies you. And so nature, old buddies, they might say, hey, they're not going to hang around that Nate any longer. He wants to talk about the Lord. He goes to church regularly. We're not hanging around with him. So the baptism saves you from the world. That's how the water saved Noah from the world. You follow that? Noah was in the ark along with his family. So he goes on to say, if you don't follow so far, you can see in verse 21, the like figure also, even baptism, doth also now save, parenthesis, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So the filth of the flesh is not going to be put away by that water. How is the filth of flesh put away? It's put away by the Lord Jesus cleansing the sinner with his precious shed blood. And so then why would anyone want to get baptized, or why would Nate want to get baptized? Because the Lord's dealing with the conscience. He wants to have a good conscience before God. Amen. And being obedient, demonstrating fruit of salvation. You follow that? All right. And so and then he goes on to say, by the resurrection of Christ. So baptism pictures the gospel. So when a person goes down into water, they're going down, that pictures their death. They have died to self. When they come back up out of the water, they're picturing the resurrection. So the gospel pictures this. We're all in Romans chapter 6. And so, likewise, the same time, an individual becomes a member of a local church through baptism. It's the ordinance, entrance into the local church. But it does not wash away sins. It does not wash away the filth of the flesh. It is a ordinance to demonstrate obedience, public identification. It's a protection, protects you from your friends. You tell your friends now, yeah, I've been baptized in a local church. And wait a minute, you mean you're one of those public Christians now? You're going to talk about the Lord and you read the Bible regularly? Is that what's happening here? Yeah, we don't want to hang around with you. Well, amen. That's good. Yeah, right. And you don't want to hang around with them, right? Don't want to hang around with them. So so we look at the verses here. So the verses here, Mark 16. So what damns? Unbelief. Acts 2:38. What saves? It's faith in the Lord. And this is where remission of sins comes. What does baptism do? It's a picture of you identifying publicly with a local church and publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ of that local church. So that's what baptism pictures. And so when people say, baptism saves. Well, you've got some verses to go to. Baptism doesn't save anybody. Baby baptism doesn't save any babies. Circumcision doesn't save anybody. These rituals don't save. It's faith in the Lord who forgives sins when one repents of sins. All right, so Nate, now, is it your desire to join this church for believers' baptism? All right, so we need the church to affirm that. So church, you've heard his testimony, so by a raised right hand, let's affirm his entrance to the local church by baptism. All right? Okay, very good. All right, so Nate and I will go get prepared. And Daryl, you can finish the service up. Then we'll meet outside there. And bring your umbrellas in case you, any of that cold rain is coming down here. We don't want anybody to get cold with water, you know what I mean? And it's, yeah.